Morning. I'm training my son up well. I feel like a great dad right now. Let me tell you why. So we just passed the plates, and his initial reaction was to grab all the money in the plate and hold on to his own quarters, right? So we're having to reteach him, hey, no, that's not how this thing works, but made me feel like a champ, you know? All right, look, I want to sing a song this morning, so y'all want to stay seated? No. All right, it's mixed. All right, I'll let you stay seated, but you got to sing it out like you mean it. How about that? That's our deal. I love this song. It's got a lot of energy, so sing it out with me. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul that's where we're going. That's what the song is singing. We're on our way to Canaan's land. And if you know anything about Canaan's land, that's a pretty good place to be, right? It's the promised land. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but let me ask you a question to set up where I want to go. Are you the kind of person that eases into the pool one step at a time? Or are you the dive off the diving board kind of a person? Let me see the diving board kind of people. All right, I'm with you. But as I get older, I find it a little bit less inspiring than when I was younger. And some of you are going, oh, you're still young. You know, we don't have to have that debate right now, okay? But it's still true for me. So, you know, as I continue, we'll see where that is. I still would consider myself to be more of a dive-in person, but I do notice every now and then I'm kind of like, nah, you know, I think I would rather ease in right now. What about the way you live your life? Are you the ease-in kind of a person, or are you the dive-in kind of a person? Let me see the dive-in kind of a people. All right. For those few of you that live your life like this, be careful with this lesson. Let me see those who like to ease into life a little bit. All right, this is for you. All right, so just so you know, we've set it up. Let's talk about it a little bit. You know, when you look at any nation, every single nation has forgotten heroes. People who have done great things within that nation, and yet over time, the nation might recognize them or remember them or reflect on them less and less. You know what? I think that the same can often be true in Scripture. I think especially in the Old Testament, there are so many forgotten heroes, is what I'll label them as. You know, we often think of men like Abraham or Joseph, Moses, David, Daniel, Elijah. I mean, you name it, we've got some major characters. But when is the last time that you thought of a man named Caleb in Scripture? He's just not more one of the more prevalent names, but he is a forgotten hero because he's done some amazing things. So what I want us to do is spend a little time this morning digging back into one of the forgotten heroes of the Old Testament. Will you do that with me? Open your Bibles, look in the pew in front of you, get out your phone, whatever it is. I want eyes on text, and we're going to look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and I'm going to start in verse 6 here in just a minute. Joshua 14 and verse 6. Now, this is in the time, just to give a little context as you turn there, in which the Israelites have gone through the wilderness, and they are standing at the door of the promised land. And then you know the story. They send in the spies. They check it out. They're not ready to go. They wait 40 more years. And now Joshua and Caleb and them are having to re-enter the land. Let's read in Joshua 14. Let's start in verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and they said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back to him a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So, on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he has said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert." That's a powerful statement we'll come back to later. So, here I am today, 85 years old. And I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this, my version says hill. Many versions say mountain, which is more biblically accurate. And I love that phrase. And I've actually titled this sermon, "Give Me This Mountain." So we're going to change hill to mountain in the NIV, okay? I don't like to cross out words too much, but if you want to just pencil through hill and put mountain, I'm doing you a favor. He says, listen, give me this mountain that the Lord promised to me on this day. You yourself heard it then that the Anakites, who we'll talk about in a second, they were there and their cities were large and they were fortified, but the Lord is helping me and I will drive them out just as he said. And so then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, forever, or ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. It's the third time in the section they've said the word wholeheartedly associated with Caleb. How do you think he lived his life? He didn't ease into life. He didn't ease into faith. He didn't baby step his way through. He wholeheartedly gave himself to the Lord, and Scripture remembers him as a hero because of it. So there's something to be said about this diving in kind of concept. Now, when you think about this story, he even talks about it here. He says, you know, I came back and I was ready to go, but my brothers that went with me, the other 10 spies who were there, they came back. And what did they do among the people, Scripture says? Man, they spread fear among the rest of the Israelites. Now, here's what you got to know about the promised land. Even the other 10 spies who were unfaithful, Even they recognize that this land, this promised land, Canaan's land, is a land flowing of milk and honey. It's a good land. In fact, when you read about Canaan's land in Scripture, you remember they brought some fruit back from the land, and it was actually vines of the grape, and it took two men to carry it. That's how large and luscious this land was. It was flowing with milk and honey. It was a beautiful land. It was where they wanted to be, especially after wandering the wilderness and being hungry and seeing this beautiful land. Man, it's something to be excited about. And God has told this nation, I'm going to give you this land. I promise that everywhere you place your foot within this land, it will be yours if you serve me faithfully, right? And so he's going to give this land. And so Caleb and Joshua say, let's go. But the other 10 say, wait a second. There's some large fortified cities in that land. See, they focused on the enemies. They focused on the walls. They focused on the problems. And they couldn't focus on the blessings. Even though God said, I'm going to take care of those enemies. They didn't have the faith. And they said, no, we can't do it. They spread fear throughout the people. And Scripture says, so God then sent them back into the wilderness. I wonder how many times in my life God sends me back into the miserable place I want to get out of because I'm not faithful enough to take the step he needs me to take. And so here they are, they go back into the wilderness, and Scripture says that the generation of all those adults had to die off and a new generation was raised up before now they're standing back ready to go. And in fact, the three men who were still there from that generation was Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And now they're ready to go back. But now he's old. Now he's wandered the wilderness. Now he's tired. But man, his perspective, look at the Scripture. His perspective is, I'm just as strong as when I was here the first time. You're telling me he was just as physically strong after 40 days in the wilderness? After 40 days of, man, I'm saying 40 days. Is that what y'all are upset about? I caught it. I heard y'all whispering, and I said, okay, I did something. For 40 years. Let's emphasize the years. It's important. Big difference. And so you're telling me he's still just as strong as he was? Now, God can do miracles, so I'm okay if you believe that. I, on the other hand, have a picture that Caleb says, I'm as strong as I was, not because I'm focused on my own strength, but because of God who is within me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when his focus is off of his enemies and off of himself and on his Lord, of course he's as strong today as he was then. You interpret that how you want. I'm not upset either way. But the point is this guy had some serious faith. And so he's ready to go in and to take this mountain. And that's exactly what he does. And in fact, that country is passed on from one generation to the other. Now, one thing that I wanted to point out, I think I had it here. Either way, I'm going to go ahead and say it. The Bible tells us that the people who were on this mountain were the Anakim. Okay, that's important because they are related to Goliath. It's like distant cousins of Goliath. It's a race of giant folk. Living at this mountain in a fortified city, they have the high ground, they have the walls, they have everything they need, and that's the mountain that Caleb says, give me this mountain. This is what I want. And Joshua was asking him, what land should I give to you? Right? So he's picking his inheritance. He says, give me this mountain. I want that mountain that no one's taken yet. I want the mountain with the hardest, most difficult terrain. I mean, 85 years, it's a pretty good time to settle down and live in the valley, wouldn't you say? Not for Caleb. Give me this mountain. Not so bad. All right, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Look, I've got three things that I want us to learn from this great man of faith, this forgotten hero in Caleb, and hopefully he will mean so much more to you after this lesson than he did coming into it. Number one, here's what I learned from Caleb. The defeats of others doesn't have to defeat me. Your defeats don't have to conquer me. Your defeats don't have to rule me. The defeats of others don't have to defeat me. And because of the unbelief and the mistakes and the defeat of those 10 unfaithful spies. I mean, the rest of the guys were cowards. And they've seen what God has done to bring them up to this point. Now God says, hey, if I set you free from an entire army, I'll give you this land that's here. And they say, no, we can't do it. And because of the unfaithfulness of those people, Caleb and his family had to go wander that same wilderness that the rest of them did. Even though he had a different outlook and he had a different perspective and he had the faith to go, because those around him didn't have that faith, he had to go back to that wilderness. Now, he could have sat around and he could have pouted for 40 years. He could have been angry and bitter, and you probably would have. I know I would have. Are you kidding me, guys? I gotta eat this? Did you see those grapes? Did you see that land? We could have been kicked back and enjoying it. We could have been relishing in the blessings of the Lord. And instead now, here we are in the wilderness because of your unfaithfulness. I told you so. You never said those words, have you? He had a lot he could say. And would he be wrong? Technically? No. But that perspective would have brought him the same kind of defeat it brought them. And instead, he remained faithful, he remained positive, and he remained ready for when that day did come. And even though he had to wait another 40 years because of the defeats of those around him, he didn't let those defeats keep him down. They might have all perished before they got to get to the Canaan's land. But Caleb, he remains faithful day after day. And he kept trusting in the Lord, and their defeat didn't rub off on him. I say this because I know that there's a lot of people who are in a situation that you can't change and you cannot control. You're in a family in which someone else around you's life isn't the way that you wished it would be. And they're miserable. Their faith is weak. Their spiritual life is not where it should be. Some of you are kids. And this was the hardest thing whenever I was in youth ministry, is I would have to look at kids and tell them, you have to live faithful even when your parents haven't. You have to rise above the influence of your parents, right? Because I can't let the defeat of others defeat me as well. You might have to be in a miserable situation, but you can have faith in the midst of it, a faith that if your parents had, you wouldn't be here right now. For some of you, I've talked with those out here who your kids are not living the life around you. There's defeat within your household because your kids are being defeated in their faith. But just because your kids have made a bad decision doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. You need to live faithful, even when those around you aren't. That's what Caleb chose to do. His family, they decided to remain defeated. But he said, I'm going to remain faithful and I'm going to remain ready. And even though he couldn't control, if he had a choice, he already said, I'm going to Canaan's land. But the Lord said, no, you need to go with your family. And sometimes God's going to call you to stay in a dysfunctional situation because your family needs your example. So stay faithful. Stay humble. And stay ready. And so look to Caleb, and you're going to find strength to trust in God in spite of the situation you find yourself in. And you see, Caleb's feet might have been in the wilderness, but his heart was in Canaan's land. And that's how we're supposed to live as Christians, right? Our feet might be in this world, and we can't change the circumstances we find our feet in. But my heart's not of this world. Scripture tells us over and over again, you're not citizens of this world. You are citizens of heaven. And we are on to Canaan's land. We sing another song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Right? And so our hearts are not always where our feet are. And that's what we've got to remember. His feet might have been in the wilderness, but his heart was in the promised land, and ours can be the same. So, number one, the defeats of others don't have to defeat us. Number two, I learned that Caleb teaches us that age is no barrier to winning victories. I didn't get an amen. Let me say it again. Age is no barrier to winning victories. This is powerful on both sides of the spectrum, right? There's no age that you will reach in which you are too old to be effective for the Lord. There is no age in which you are too young to be effective for the Lord. One of the most devastating phrases in my time in youth ministry was when people said, oh, look, that's the future of the church. No, it's not. That is the today of the church. That is the present of the church. That is often, Jesus said, if you want to become like me, become like one of these. He said, become like children. Love like children. Share like children. Give like children. And sometimes children give and share and love recklessly. And God says, that's how I loved you. With a love that the world would have looked at and said, that's reckless. And he said, and yet I loved you that much. And he says, you want to become like me? Become like one of them. That's powerful. You're never too young and you're never too old. And so Caleb's here, 85-year-old man. And they say, what land do you want? Do you think they were expecting him to say, give me this mountain of giants and fortified cities? And yet that's what he chooses. He dives in the deep end at 85 years old. You know, I don't know how you live your life, but often I preach sermons about this, and it's really important, especially for those who are very black and white personalities, all in or all out. I'm either getting in the pool and I'm jumping in or I'm not getting in at all, right? If that's our personality, oftentimes the best sermon that I can preach is to say, you need to just take some baby steps. Don't try to go and say, I'm going to read the Bible in 6 months. Why don't you go in and say, I'm going to read a verse a day, every day for a week and see what God doesn't speak to me. Let's take some baby steps. But if your faith is only lived out in baby steps, my request and my challenge for you this morning is to declare, give me this mountain. I'm ready to make a huge move. I'm ready to enter the promised land. I'm ready to conquer giants. I'm ready to do something huge for the Lord. I have baby stepped my way to this point. It's time for me to dive into the deep end. When is the last time your faith has led you to make a major change in your life? Not a small change, a major change in your life. You know, somebody in this room right now is working at a job in which it might be best for you to get another job for your faith. But you haven't even entertained giving up your job because that's such a major thing. But maybe God is calling you to the mountain and to the promised land, saying you're going to have to leave your country to come to this place. And I'm going to show you something new. When is the last time your faith, you ever seen older people who say, oh man, I really wanted to go and study this and learn this and go to school, but now I'm just too old. I should have done it years ago, but now I can't. Why can't you? You're never too old to grow. You're never too old to study. Go back. Sign up. Do something major with your faith. Pray to the Lord and let him show you what he's going to show you. You're never too old. I hear this all the time. Oh, well, I would love to join. Man, we need more young people to join that ministry. No, we don't. We need more people to join that ministry, young and old. And you are not too old, and that ministry does not start too late at night. You can come. If Caleb can take a mountain, then you can be there. But some of you really would love to. See, I'm not talking, if you're using those as excuses, then this is not the lesson I'm talking to you about. You've got a heart problem. I'm talking to the ones who really want to go, but have genuinely felt like, because of the comments and defeats of others, oh, you're too old to do that. You can't go out. You can't do that. My encouragement to you is you can. Stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what the Lord has blessed you with. You can find a way to plug into church. You can find a way to plug into that ministry. And yeah, maybe it looks different than somebody else, but God's going to use you in some major ways to do some major things. And that's what I came to tell you this morning. Do something major with your faith like Caleb. Stop saying, God, help me to take the next right step. That's a great prayer. But stop only praying that prayer and sometimes pray, God, help me to jump in wholeheartedly like Caleb. And I think God's going to do some great things. You know, Miss Inola Narove is here. She would not want me to point her out, so I'm going to do it. Because that's the kind of people we need to recognize, as the ones who are humble enough to not want to be recognized. And if you don't know Miss Inola, she's sitting right here. She's going to wave her hand so everybody can see her. Yeah. I have a very, very special relationship with Miss Inola. Started about a year and a half ago. And if I sat here and told you the story, you would understand what we understand. The only way that we are connected is through what God has done. It's only by His Holy Spirit that He brought us to each other, that we met each other in the first place, that we found each other, and that we've been working with each other for over a year and a half, encouraging one another, loving on one another, and studying together, praying together. It's just a special, special bond. And the reason I tell you all of this is because yesterday, in fact, Thursday of this week, she came to my office and she said, "Nathan, I want to talk with you. I've got something I want to say." What's going on? Come sit in. You know, and I thought it was just another typical visit. And she says, "I want to be baptized." I said, "Yeah, hey, we can clap for that. That's okay." Yeah. I said, "Yes, yes." And so we talked, we studied, we came up here yesterday, and she said, "I just want it to be me, you, and the Lord." Now, how special is that? Right? Because she realizes, man, this is about a personal relationship with the Father, and it's about me and Him. It's not about anybody else. And again, that's the kind of people we want to recognize. She hates this right now. Okay? But she's so special to me. And what I told her on the way down after it was all done and we were walking out and I'm soaking wet and she is too, and we're talking and hugging and talking about everything. And I said, "You know what? When I get as young as you are, I hope that I am as strong as you are." And I'm not talking about her physical strength, which, by the way, she's as strong as an ox. I'm talking about the strength in her mind and the strength in her heart. And you are a strong woman in the Lord. And I am blessed to know you and thankful for you. And here's what you have to understand. When she comes into my office every other week, sometimes weekly, sometimes every other week, she'll come in and she'll say, "I was reading my Bible and I've got a question." And we'll talk about what she was reading or what her mind was on or what she was praying, because she's growing every day. How about you? You see, Caleb didn't sit in the wilderness and pout. Caleb got stronger. That's what he says. "I'm just as strong as I was then, and I'm more ready to come in now." He was growing while he was in the wilderness. When is the last time you've allowed your faith to let you take that kind of major change in your life? Yesterday, Inola chose to allow God to make a major change in her life through her faith. Man, I want to live my life like that. All right. Thank you for letting me do that. I didn't ask her. Well, I kind of told you a little bit, but not that much.
Yes, I want everybody to know, yes, I am the strange lady that's there, but a year and a half ago, I was in darkness, and it was raining, and then it wasn't rain, it was tears, and Nathan put out his hand to me. And I took it. And he led me along this beautiful, beautiful path where I am today. And I want to thank him and all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Inola. Thank you. It's a special thing when God works. And he works in mysterious ways, and he has certainly worked in that relationship. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your faith. And so, and we also learned the same from Caleb. Number three, last is this. Caleb teaches us to look ahead and not back. Notice that about him. He's always looking for the promised land. He's always looking for what's next. He's tired of looking back behind him. Now, this doesn't mean, no, you don't learn from the past. right? Of course we learn from it, but we don't live in it, okay? At no point in your life should your ministry only be, well, I'm going to tell others about my experiences and just give them my wisdom. You have wisdom to give, and people need that wisdom, and that should be a part of your ministry at every step of your life, because there's always someone whom you need to be the salt of the earth to. Someone needs to be influenced by you. But that should not be your only ministry. Allow your faith to change you. Look ahead, set a goal. Caleb says, give me this mountain. He says, I'm not satisfied with staying in this valley. I'm not satisfied with taking the easy route. I am still, even at 85 years old, diving in for what God has for me. He was always looking ahead, and that should be where you are too. Folks, listen, I don't know what your mountain is, but I pray that you choose to conquer it. For some of you, it might say, you know what, this mountain for me, diving in is not just starting a diet for 3 days and then getting off, but is really committing to doing something major with my health. Maybe for you, it is in your faith. Maybe it's having a faithful conversation with your family and saying, I'm going to spend every night with my kids praying with them and reading a story to them from Scripture before I go to bed. Maybe for you, it is getting a new job. Maybe for you, it's going and seeing family who you haven't seen in so long. I don't know what this is going to do. You know your mountain, but God is wanting you to take a step of faith, and hopefully you can say like Caleb, give me this mountain. Folks, the lesson is yours. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?